Sefer Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yoina, is a classic in the world of Musar. In particular, Sefer Shari Tshuva, being that it's a Sefer Musar, which is written by one of the Gedolei Rishonim, makes it very, very authoritative. And as a result, being that it was written by Rabbeinu Yoina, it is something which not only was appreciated by later generations, and of course, Klal Yisrael in all areas, but in particular also Rishonim and contemporaries of his time. In the time of Rabbeinu Yoina had tremendous respect, and in many ways were in awe of Rabbeinu Yoina as being one of the great Rishonim of all time. Rabbeinu Yoina basically was born in Spain, in Girona, in the year 1180. Rabbeinu Yoina was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Shloime Minohar of Montpellier in France. Rabbeinu Shloime Minohar was one of the Gedolei Rishonim of his time, and quite controversial, because Rabbeinu Shloime Minohar, as it's called, Minohar is Montpellier, which is from the area of the mountain. Rabbeinu Shloime Minohar was considered to be a tremendous koyach in as a mefarish like Balei Tosfos. At the same time, for example, the Rashba will quote many halachic psokim of Rabbeinu Shloime Minohar. Also, the Shita Mekubetzes from Rabbeinu Bezalel Ashkenazi also brings down many of chidushim of Rabbeinu Shloime Minohar. And lamaise, none of his works actually are printed independently. We don't have him. All that we have of Rabbeinu Shloime Minohar is basically things that are quoted by others, either Talmidim or contemporaries, who heard great chidushi Torah from Rabbeinu Shloime Minohar. Lamaise was a tremendous kenoi. Rabbeinu Shloime Minohar was a tremendous kenoi. And therefore, when the Rambam, of course, philosophical works, became spread into the world, in particular, which is the Moir Nevuchim, the Guide of the Perplexed, and also the Sefer Hamadeh, when Shloime Minohar felt that this Rambam Sefer would endanger, being it's a philosophical work, would endanger people's pure emunah and Torah. And as a result, there was a clear opposition that was organized by Rabbeinu Shloime Minohar against the Rambam, defiling the Rambam, shaming the Rambam, putting him down. And it was not just himself, but he had quite a number of Gedolim that went along with him in order to vilify the Rambam. And originally, among those who were against the Rambam was Rabbeinu Yoina, who was the author of Shari Tshuva, one of the Talmidim, as mentioned, Rabbeinu Shloime Minohar. And to the point that they pronounced a cherem. They pronounced a cherem against these Svarim of the Rambam, and meaning that anyone who studied those Svarim would be put in cherem. There was a cherem which was established by Rabbeinu Shloime Minohar, and along with his Talmidim as well. Turns out that although this idea did not gain so much support in the area of Provence, but nevertheless in northern France, in that area they really did concur with the view of Rabbeinu Shloime Minohar. And lemaise, it was tremendous controversy between the two camps, and the controversy continued even after the Patira of Rabbeinu Shloime Minohar against the Rambam. So now, we find Rabbeinu Yoina, who is one of the great Talmidim of Rabbeinu Shloime Minohar, and it turns out that there was a gzeira against the Talmud, as we know, and we say this in the Kinnis of Tisha B'Av, the Maram Rothenberg, and the 24 wagon loads of Gemara were burned in a church, and those 24 svarim, or 24, as we say, loads, 24 wagon loads of Gemara that was burnt, was actually on the same spot where originally where they burnt the Rambam. Rabbeinu Yoina took this as a simon and a shemayim, that this was an oynish, that this was a punishment, a divine punishment, because they desecrated the memory of the Rambam, and they vilified the Rambam, and the Rambam's kovod was so put down. By the way, this was 9 years earlier. That is, the Rambam's svarim were burnt, actually, 9 years earlier, and on the same spot later on, 24 wagon loads of the Talmud were, by the decree of the church, to have to be burnt in the same spot.
When Yoni saw this, then therefore he regretted his actions. And he said to himself that there's something wrong about this. And as is pointed out, we know this, Rabbeinu Yoni's attitude of change of heart is by one of his Talmidim. Because the Talmud that he had was Rabbeinu Hillel of Verona. He Talmud Rabbeinu Yoni, and he declared publicly, he said, that Rabbeinu Yoni clearly admitted, and he had tremendous charot, a tremendous regret for his attitude towards the Rambam originally. And therefore, Rabbeinu Yoni, in order to do tshuva, decided that the only way to do tshuva is that he's going to leave Europe, he can leave Spain, and he's going to go to Eretz Yisrael, to Tveri, make all the way the trip to Tveri, which is the kever of the Rambam, in order to ask Mechila from the Rambam's kever with a minion of 10 people. So in order to do that, you don't make your way straight in those days straight, you know, from there. There's not a direct flight, you know, going to Eretz Yisrael. So from Girona, which was not far from Barcelona, I made that trip already once, especially Taki, because to go to those places, it's by car, it's about a two-hour trip today. On, as I say, paved highways. It's about a two-hour trip from Barcelona to Girona, which by the way, Rabbeinu Yoni lived there, and Ramban lived also over there in Girona. And basically, so he begins his journey, and he goes from Girona, he goes to Barcelona, and in Barcelona, the great Rabbeinu Yoni is there. They didn't let him go. So he was detained for 3 years. Rabbeinu Yoni is detained for 3 years in Barcelona, where he gave shiurim, he lectures, and in his shiurim, those 3 years, what do you think he lectured about? Always mentioning the Psukim of the Rambam. In order to do tshuva against the fact that here to there he always opposed the Rambam heretofore, but now, those 3 years that he was detained in Barcelona, he continues to give shiurim and always mentioning the various different halachas of the Rambam, the decisions, interpretations, and showing his great reverence that in fact that he had to the Rambam. So now 3 years are over, he has to make his way to Eretz Yisrael. So the next step was, he goes to Toledo. He comes to Toledo, and again in Toledo, he was also detained because he was so adored, because for his fame, his piety, his tzidkus, and his greatness, and the middle of the community poshut, that they implored that he stay, and they insisted that he stay. And Mamela, he gave them shiurim, he gave them Talmudic instructions. Lamaisa Shemaim had a different plan, and his nifter, right in Toledo, never made it, actually, to Eretz Yisrael, to be able to ask Mechila, which he set out to do from the Rambam. It is said that possibly that the Sefer Shari Tshuva that Rabbeinu Yoni wrote was an expression of somehow giving back that which he felt that he needs to do tshuva for the sake of embarrassing the Rambam and going against the Rambam with such strength, with such power. So therefore he wrote the Sefer Shari Tshuva, which basically meant it was a reflection of his own attitudes that he felt that he needed to do tshuva, because Sefer Shari Tshuva encompasses all so much more and becomes a classic. That's one of the main sfarim that Rabbeinu Yoni is known for. Just to point out, when he was nifter, of course he was mourned by all of Spanish Jewry, and the Ramban himself, who by the way was a first cousin, and also Machut, we'll talk about it some other time, wrote a hesped, a eulogy, which is a poem, a very, very beautiful poem. One day we'll go through it also. A tremendous poem, decrying and mourning, a very heart-rending appreciation of how the Ramban expressed himself to the great loss of Klal Yisrael, to the Petira, to the passing of Rabbeinu Yoni. So again, Rabbeinu Yoni, again, one of his classical works is the Sefer Musa that we have here, the Sefer Shari Tshuva. The first time it was actually printed was in 1505 in Italy. And there's also, of course, we have Masechtas Brachos, Talmidei Rabbeinu Yoni. This is also, it's from the Rabbeinu Yoni, around the Rif in Masechtas Brachos. It's called Talmidei Rabbeinu Yoni because it was edited by the Talmidim. There was much more, but we don't have it. What we have on Masechtas is on Masechtas Sanhedrin, we have Chidush Rabbeinu Yoni. We have on Masechtas Bava Basra, we have Chidush Rabbeinu Yoni, and so on and so forth. Also, there is a Sefer mentioned by the Rajba and the Ran regarding Rabbeinu Yoni. It's called Megillas Sesarim. Megillas Sesarim, which again is no longer extant. We don't have it. And there is Rabbeinu Yoni on Pirkei Avos, and so on and so forth. There is a whole host of chidushim, many, many things that Rabbeinu Yoni, in fact, that he wrote. There is halachas of Chanukah and situation of Chanukah, which is quoted by the Rashbats and so on and so forth. And there's the Igeres HaTshuva of Rabbeinu Yoni. Not too long ago, what was printed is what's called a sefer called Shaar HaAvodah. In Shaar HaAvodah, the Maaseh, it's not been really established the Shara Avodah, well, that's the, which is very interesting, that which was not around for all that long, but Netz Yisrael, they printed a number of years ago. It's called Perush Rabbeinu Yoyin Ala Torah. There's not enough scholarly work in terms of positively identifying that this is the Rabbeinu Yoyin's Perush, but it has been accepted as such, and that's how the Sefer is titled. It's Perush Rabbeinu Yoyin Ala Torah. Again, one of the great Talmidim, Rabbeinu Yoyin, was none other than the Rajab himself, who was the leading, of course, figure, of course, in Spain, and was the greatest authority. Following the Patir of the Rajab, of course, the greatest authority who became known all over was the Rosh, who had moved from Germany to Spain and in Toledo itself. So just for starters, to have a little bit of an idea what Rabbeinu Yoyin is about, so we take a look at the first items here. Interesting thing just to point out that in the ancient times, or in the Sfarim, when Toledo was referred to, it's called Tulatila. And the city of Tultila, which is Toledo, which is today also, you have the old section of Toledo. I might have mentioned before, but if you make your way to Toledo, which is the old section of Toledo, it is surrounded by a choyma, and if you'd be blindfolded and put down there without telling you where you are, you might by mistake thinking that you're looking at the wall around Yerushalayim, which is of course the famous wall, not the coastal, but the wall, the city wall around Yerushalayim. And that's the way they used to build in the old days, and basically fortify the cities with chaimas, with walls, with various gates, various sharim, like they have in Eretz Yisrael, the different sharim, you have it over there as well. There is no trace anywhere of all of the kvarim of the great Rishonim that lived in Toledo, which is, of course, the Rosh, and Rosh's sons, which was the Balaturim, and there was Rabbeinu Yehuda ben Rosh. The Ibn Ezra also lived in Toledo. Rabbi Yudah Levi, the Balakuzari, lived in Toledo originally, and the Kvarim of the Gedol Yisrael, including Rabbeinu Yoyin and the Rosh and so on, and the great Talmidim, there's no trace at all of their Kvarim. Recently, if any of the Olam is aware, there's great controversy being done as we speak now in Spain, because archaeologists have unearthed, which is an old ancient Beis HaChaim, and there's atzonois, or bodies, were basically exhumed, and they were put away for various purposes, research purposes, and the Jewish community became aware of it. So there are particular organizations, Asr Kaddish and so on, from Eretz Yisrael, who have come down with also soliciting from America, influential people with the United States Congress and so on and so forth, in order to block, not only to block the further digging and excavation in the area of the Beis HaChaim, but also to be able to return all of the atzomis that were taken out and be placed back in the rightful mokum, as it is. It has not been settled as yet. As a matter of fact, one of the archaeologists, one of the people who were involved with the digging, told the Choshev Yidden, the Askonim, who were involved with this, and said, make sure you settle it very quickly. Because the reason I'm not doing it, because I have an order higher up to stop it. But the moment I get the order to do it, he says, nobody's able to stop, we're going to continue to do it. So there's a lot of koich and effort being put in there. And who knows, this is a very ancient, this might be very well, as they say, the Mokim Kvura of the Rishayim that we're talking about. Clearly it's dated back to that Kufa, and we don't know who they are, but these are Yidden, the time of Kufa's Rishayim, so these are great people, in any case, whoever they are. And again, they might very well be the Kvarim of Rabbeinu Yoyin and the Rosh, and so on and so forth. So it's a very scary situation. But a lot of effort, no effort is being spared to see to it that this is put to a halt and put to a stop and being rectified. So we take Rabbeinu Yoyin here in the Shar HaRishon, the Kura Shar. Says Rabbeinu Yoyin. Rabbeinu Yoyin starts to say that Min HaToivos, from the great Toivos, he says. Min HaToivos, he says, from the great Toivos, from the tremendous good things that Rabbeinu Shloim basically did for Klal Yisrael. What are the great Toivos, he says? Min HaToivos, Asher Heitev Hashem Yisbarach Im Beruov. Among the great things that Kodesh Baruch Hu, his kindness that he did to his creations, is, he said, ki heichem lohem haderech, that he prepared a way for them, lalois mitoich pachas maseim, because Baruch Hu prepared a way for each and every person to rise from the pit of their deeds, and velonus mipach pisheim, and to be able to find a way to escape the trap of their offenses, lachsoich nafsho minishachas, to be able to save themselves from destruction, and to be able to turn his wrath from them. What Rabbeinu Yoyin is trying, first of all, of course, to impress upon us, that tshuva, repentance, is not just to be viewed as a task, as something that we have to do, which of course there's a chiyuv, that we have a chiyuv to repent, we have a chiyuv to do tshuva. But Rabbi Yoina wants to enlighten us that we should understand this is a tremendous chus, not to look at it as merely as a duty. But repentance is a tremendous chus, a tremendous privilege. It's one of the greatest maton, it's one of the greatest gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have ever given us, to give us the opportunity to be able to rectify, and not only to change our ways, but to be accepted. By changing our ways, to be accepted, and as he says, to turn his wrath away from Klal Yisrael, from all of the Yidden. And he says further, not only that, not only HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared a way to allow us to do tshuva, as he says, to rise from the pit of our maisim, but v'limdom v'hizhirom lo shuvelov. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in fact, that he taught and he warned them, he warned the people to do tshuva, to repent, to turn to him, ki yachtu eloi, because he knows, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that they have sinned upon him, l'roiv tuvoi v'yoshroi, because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Roiv Toiv, because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Roiv Toiv and his Yashrus and his straightforwardness, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu's uprightness, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the opportunity to do tshuva, ki hu yoda yitzron, because he knows our weakness, the weakness of man. So therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu, knowing the weakness of man, allowed us and gave us the opportunity to do tshuva. But Rabbi Yair is telling us more than that. It's not just we have to understand and recognize, to appreciate what it means, the Toiv of tshuva. When we talk about the great Toiv of Tshuva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically did for us, we have to take in consideration the fact that through the difference and mark the distinction between someone who's choyte against the government, someone who's choyte against a melech boss of Adam, there's no such concept of a tshuva. If someone parks illegally and then he's put before the judge, you can very well stand before the judge and say, Chotose visa peshati, I have tremendous regret and I have tremendous charot, and from now on I'll make sure to park legally, it's not going to help you. And certainly if you're going to do a much larger crime, and avad if a person commits murder, or whatever the situation is, the greater the crime, there's no such thing as tshuva. Sometimes maybe you may be matzliach, or maybe successful, maybe to lower, maybe to find some stuff because of the consideration of the situation, evaluating somehow maybe to lower the punishment. But certainly there's no such concept of tshuva just because you have charote. Charote is not something that's going to erase the crime, is going to erase the deed that the person has done. And yet you come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he is the melech malcha amlochim. So it's not just that you have sinned, but you have sinned against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Melech, the one who gives you life, who allows you to breathe each and every moment. He sustains you, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can see the great matona, menatoivis ha-shehetiv ha-shem yizbaruch in beruah, of that he allows us to do tshuva, he accepts our tshuva, but not only that, it's not just he says, okay, do tshuva, I'll accept it. He encourages us to do tshuva, so not only our tshuva is accepted, but it's not just after the fact. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is pushing us to do tshuva, which is going beyond the call of duty even more. It's not just if we decided to do tshuva, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, listen, you're doing tshuva, I'm going to accept it. But as he points out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is even showing us and teaching us all of the details as Rabbi Yoina. As Rabbi Yoina will, in further chapters and further prokim, point out all the various details in tshuva from all the various psukim that we found throughout Tanakh. And that's why he says, V'limdom v'hizhirom lo shuvelov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taught us, and basically he has pushed us that we should turn to him because we have sinned. And when Yoni points out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands the weakness of man, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that it's only right that he should give us the opportunity to do tshuva after we have sinned. Shenema, the Pesuk says, Toiv v'yosher Hashem. Hashem is Toiv, that he is good and he is upright. Al Kain, therefore, says the Pesuk in Tehillim, Yoirech HaToim Baderech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs sinners in the way. Now a person will say to himself, okay, tshuva, as we said, is such a privilege, is such a matana, now you can't abuse the gift. Meaning to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the opportunity to do tshuva, so that's maybe if we sinned once. Maybe if we sinned twice. What happens if you sinned 10 times? What happens if you sinned 20 times? Maybe the road of tshuva is over for you. Comes Rabbi Yoina and goes on further to expand and gives us to understand how great the toiva, the matana of tshuva is. It's mamish literally without limitation. And but of course we have to be serious when we do it. In other words, when we're doing tshuva, we have to be serious at the moment. Now, we may fall again. We may slip again. The idea is not doing tshuva 10 times for the same avera. I mean, doing tshuva then sitting over again with a cheshbon or planning it that way. That's not called a tshuva. Tshuva means that the time you're doing tshuva, you are sincere. And you are hoping that you'll be able to sustain the tshuva. But man is weak. So even though at the time that we did tshuva, we really meant it, we slip again, because Yibok gives another opportunity to do tshuva. But you have to be serious about it at that time. And then we were serious, and then finally we slip again. Man again is only human. So he has his inclinations and he has his desires. So you might slip 20 times, 25 times. But each and every time you get up again, and you say, maybe this is the time. Maybe now I'll be successful in my mission of tshuva. So Rabbeinu Yoyne, the gewaldige toive, tremendous toive you have to understand of tshuva is, that if you hear bulif shoya, that even though you sin not just once or twice, but you were marbel if shoya means that you have offended HaKadosh Baruch Hu, velimroi. In other words, you rebelled and you offended exceedingly many, many times. As he says, ubeged boigdim bagadu. And literally you have been faithless to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, completely faithless many, many times. Still, loisogar ba'adom dalse tshuva. Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch did not close the door of tshuva. As the Pasuk says, Shenemar, as it says, Yeshaya Hanovi says, Shuvu la'asher he'omiku soro. The Novi says, turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu against whom you have deeply rebelled, says the Pasuk. And then it says further, Venemar, and then there's another Pasuk in Yirmiyah that says, Shuvu bonim shoivavim. Return, my children. Shoivavim means that you have backslided. Those who have descended, those that have fallen from the Madrega, those that went the wrong direction, that turned off. And the Pasuk says, Erpo mishuveisechem. I will heal your backsliding. So here is the one nekuda that Rabbeinu Yoyne points out. And again, clearly, we should understand that tshuva, although it's a duty, it's a chayva, but we should not look at it as doing something real because we have a duty to do it, but understand the tremendous maton, the tremendous gift that we were given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, enabling us to do tshuva. Not only enabling us to do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us the roads of tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu warns us to do tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pushing us to do tshuva. This is all bechlal, again, the great hanhoga, the tremendous privilege and schus that we have from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And not only if we were chayta once or twice, but even here, bulif shaya, no matter how many times we sin, there's no limitations to that, as we'll soon see. There's no limitations, literally, there are no limitations as to how many times a person can sin. If you want to repent and you really mean it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept it and all will be forgotten. Now, Rabbeinu Yoyne goes on further and tells us here in the next, and he says as follows. A person might think that, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts tshuva all the time. But maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu only accepts tshuva if we do it out of our understanding that we should do tshuva. Because intellectually, we actually observe and we understand that we owe it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what happens if the only reason to tshuva is because, chas v'shalom, we turned ill? Or maybe we lost fortunes of money? Maybe because of various sorrows, and therefore we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing us, therefore we're doing tshuva. So we're not really doing tshuva idealistically, but maybe we're only doing tshuva because of all the sorrows that we're doing tshuva. But l'maisa, we're doing tshuva. We are changing our ways. So Ben Yoyne, even that kind of a tshuva, different levels of tshuva. But even this is called the lower level of tshuva, which means that we're doing tshuva basically not out of our independent understanding that this is what you would be doing, but sort of because we are found ourselves in compromising situations and we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take us out and to help us from our tzoras, to deliver us from our pain, and that's the reason that we're doing tshuva. So maybe that's not called a tshuva, you'll think. If that's the source of our tshuva, if that's the reason, that's the motivating factor, maybe it's not acceptable. But he says, no. Because Baruch Hu is ready even to accept a lower level of tshuva, the huzharnu ala tshuva, become him koimiz b'toyr. Rabbeinu Yoyne goes on to point out that in many instances in the Torah we find where the Torah talks about inyonim in relation to tshuva, the hizboyer, and it becomes shown to us, ki ha tshuva mekubelis. If you look around, he says in the various sources in the Torah regarding tshuva, it becomes clear to us, ki ha tshuva mekubelis gam ki yoshuv hachoyte miroiv tzoroisov. That even when a sinner repents because of his many troubles, so the only reason doing tshuva is because of tzaris. Says Rabbeinu Yoyne, nevertheless, tshuva nevertheless is accepted. And how much more so? Kol shekein, how much more im yoshuv meyiris Hashem b'havosoy. And how much more when his repentance is out of fear and love of Hashem. Of course, that is a higher level of tshuva. Shenemar. Now where do we see the source that Rabbeinu Yoyne is here trying to point out? That even if a person really was motivated to do tshuva only because of his tzaris, where can we find that? Where do we find the source for that? So he says, we find the Pasuk says in Devarim Dalet. Shenemar, v'tzar l'cho imtzuocho. It comes out that if because you find yourself in tzaris, v'tzar l'cho, you find yourself in a matzav, in a situation of distress. So v'tzar l'cho imtzuocho kol advarim ho'ele b'achis hayomim. You find yourself in a situation of distress when all these things means all the punishments that you find either in the Torah that the Torah describes that will come upon you. And the situation comes to pass. You find yourself in all these situations of distress. So in the end of days, and in the end of days, the Maaseh comes out that you will return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you will listen to His voice. The Torah says, so here we're talking about a tshuva that's because b'tzar lecha. It's because b'tzar lecha m'tzuocha. Because you find yourself in the matzav of the tzaras and all of the various tzaras have befallen you. And v'shavta ad Hashem lekecho. So Mamela is still never, the Torah talks about being accepted and being received even under such circumstances. Under such lowly circumstances. Motivating factor. Even that is accepted as a tshuva. And then goes Rabbeinu Yoin and says something which is tremendously invigorating and tremendously important. As a matter of fact, it is something which is sort of an incredible thing. And he says further, V'hizbor b'toira, and it becomes clear from the Torah, says Rabbeinu Yoin, Ki yazor Hashem lashovim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will assist the penitent. Means the person wants to do tshuva, Kasha ein yativom maseges, when they are limited by their nature, he says, the yechadesh bikirbom ruach taharo lahasig malas avosoi. Because Baruch will implant in them a spirit of tahar, of purity, in order that they should be able to come to Ahavas Hashem. Rabbi Yoin is telling us the following. People have natural instincts. People have natural tivus. People have natural desires. Many people have desires in a particular area, could be of eating, and it may lead them even to macholas asuras. People have desires which leads them to get involved in various entertainments, which are non-kosher entertainments. People have tivus regarding gilu arayas. People have tivus in all different types of yitzharas. The person says to himself, I would love to do tshuva, but I can't. In a similar situation, a person finds himself addicted to various... So a person says, I would love to do tshuva, but I can't. So Rabbeinu Yoin says, if you do your maximum to try to do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will assist you to do tshuva, even if it's against your nature. You say to yourself, how can I change my ways? My nature is to desire these things. How can I refrain? I don't have the power. Said Ben Yoin, you don't have the power alone. If you're looking from your own vantage point, from your own koiches, from your own nature, you take it, maybe don't have the power. But don't look upon yourself as a limitation because of your own power. Because in the havtoch of tshuva, in the power of tshuva, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this tremendous matona and gift of tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you and assist you. He will even change your nature if necessary, if that's really what you're committed to do and you really want to do. If you do your utmost, what's up to you, you go to the end of where your ability allows you to go, and you say, I can't go any further, because it's my nature. I can't go any further. I do the best I can. When you do the best you can, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you the siyata d'shamaya. Even though it might be against your nature, you will be successful in tshuva. Take a look at his words again. Let's repeat it. His boy about Torah. Again, he says it becomes clear from the Torah. Ki yazer Hashem lashovim. Kadosh Baruch Hu will assist those who do tshuva. Kasher ein yativom maseges. Look what he says. When it's ein yativom, their nature will not be able to do it. Will not allow them to do it. So even though mitzad yativom, mitzad their nature, mitzad their essence, they don't have the ability to do it. She says, "V'yechadesh bekirbam ruach tahara." It's like a Kadosh Baruch Hu will, so to speak, like newly recreate you. You know, the old you was not able to do it, but the new you will be able to, as long as you are committed, and that's what you really want to do, and you are putting in all of your effort in order to change your ways. Then a Kadosh Baruch Hu will jump in and finish that which you are not able to complete, and this is the siyata d'shamaya that a person will have if he's committed to doing tshuva. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, V'shavto ad Hashem lekecho v'shemata b'koiloi, and you will return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and listen to His voice, G'choil asher anoichi mitzavcho hayoim, to do everything that I command you to do this day, Ato uvenecho, b'chol avovcho, He says, v'chol nafshecho, now, v'oime b'gufinyin, and so this is your part, that you will go and return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But just say to yourself, I'm ready to return, I'm trying to return, but I can't do it. I can't do it. My nature limits me. My nature blocks me. My nature does not allow me. What does it say later in that context? What does the Pasuk say later? But the Pasuk says later, es levavcha v'slavav zarecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will circumcise, right, the impurity of your heart and the heart of your children and so on and so forth. L'hasig avosos. What does it say? Yimol Hashem l'kecha. So in the same way, a baby is not able to circumcise himself. Baby's not able to circumcise it. So what do you? You have a moil doing it. The heart also needs to be circumcised. The heart needs mila, but this is a spiritual mila, to remove, to circumcise the impurities of the heart. So you're not able, you say. I can't do it. It's against my nature. I have these desires. I have to do it. You say the word I have, and you underline the word I have to. The answer says, Rabbeinu Yonah, you may not be able by your own nature to do it. But the pasuk in the Torah says, Umol Hashem Elokecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do the circumcision. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do it. That's the siyata d'shamayah that we hope to attain in order to reach Ahavas Hashem. And this notion, he says, V'hanaviyim, V'aksuvim, if you take a look all the way in the Nevi'im, the prophets, and in the writings, he says, Dibru Tomid al-Dvar Tshuva. All of the, go through Tanakh, they're all replete in so many areas, always referring to the inyan of tshuva. Ad kibo ikrei tshuva. In fact, if you investigate all of the various psukim, you find out that the principles of tshuva, he says, we don't have to figure them out. We find sources for all of the various principles of tshuva that we need to know by going through Tanakh, whether it's Nevi'im, whether it's Ksuvim, Kula Mufuroshim Bidivreim Kashi Yisboyer. He says, as it will be explained, he says, as we will begin to learn. Okay, so for now, what we have is we saw here from Rabbeinu Yonah a number of Evinyonim, and we'll take a look now at the sheet to be able to supplement that, as we have over here. The first item that we had here from Rabbeinu Yonah was, in fact, that to understand that among the great toivas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically has given us and granted us is the opportunity and the privilege of tshuva. Tshuva is a tremendous gift. But Rabbi Yonah did not stop there and went on to say that even in Mehir Bulif Shoya, even if a person repeated, he's a repeated offender. So Mele, he was over and over again. He repeats the Aveira and he's a repeated sinner. Nevertheless, it does not make a difference. Rabbi Yonah says, if you really want to do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never close the door. The door of tshuva is never closed. So let's take a look at the word. The first item we have here is the words of the Bnei Yisoschar in the Ma'amorim of Chodesh Tishrei. And the Bnei Yisoschar on the Posik, it says, tshuva Yisrael ad Hashem lekecho. Take a look at these words of the Bnei Yisoschar. The Navi says, tshuva Yisrael, he says, yidin do tshuva, to whom do tshuva, ad Hashem lekecho. What to whom else are you doing tshuva? What does it mean, tshuva Yisrael ad Hashem lekecho? I mean, is there anyone else? You sin against Hashem. Of course, you're doing tshuva to Hashem. What's the meaning of the word tshuva Yisrael? Ad Hashem alekecha. So he says, Hine kvar dikdaknu. We already raised the point. He says, V'chi yesh tshuva she'ein ad Hashem. Is there any type of tshuva that's not ad Hashem? You do tshuva, it's always tshuva doing to Hashem. There's none other to whom you're really doing tshuva to. V'chi yesh lefarish. He says, the meaning might be as follows. Api shekozvu rishoinim v'achroinim. The rishoinim v'achroinim have pointed out, the metanaya tshuva, the first condition in order to tshuva to be viable, the first condition, the metanaya tshuva is shiyo mamin bo. In other words, in order for tshuva to be effective, you have to believe in the power of tshuva. If you don't really believe that there is such a concept of tshuva, it doesn't work. Tshuva needs emunah. A person has to believe in the power of tshuva. Now you say, okay, I believe in the power of tshuva. But Yisrael says, no, you don't know what I mean. Believing the power of tshuva, there's different levels of emunah, believing. When I say to you, that one of the tenoyim of tshuva is to believe in tshuva. You know what it means? You know how far you have to believe? Let's take a look. Hainu, sheyemamin, what is required to believe in the power of tshuva, it's necessary to believe. You know what it's necessary? It's necessary to believe, shatshuva mechaperes afilu hirbo lifshoya alfei alofim revoveish pomim. Incredible words. Rabbi Yonah talked about that. That's how we started. That even if it's here b'lif shoya, you'll say it 10 times, 10 times. But Yisoschar uses these exaggerated, I don't care if you sin tens of thousands of times, that he says. Forget about 20 times, Andra. I don't care if you sin tens of thousands of times. Literally, thousands and thousands of times, he says. Ad ein mispar, said without end, without number. V'afilu b'kish mechila meis Hashem yizbarach kam epomim. And now he went. Now, let's say you did a million averus. Okay, you have a million averus. Doesn't make a difference. You could do tshuva on a million averus. So you say to yourself, but I already asked mechila once, and I sinned again. So he says, va'afilu, he says, even though you asked mechila many, many times, you asked for forgiveness. Va'afilu, bikish mechila, mezeh shemizborach, kam epomim. Va'ach ka'chozer l'sura, and then you went back to the old. Bechol pam, each and every time, afal pikein, hatoiv v'salach Kadosh Baruch Hu, who is good and the forgiver, v'yakableu b'tshuva, will accept you in tshuva. V'alam b'chodaz bozeh l'karvin l'secha. And you'll say to yourself, but that doesn't make sense. How is it possible that Kadosh Baruch Hu will accept our tshuva, even though we sinned, we ask forgiveness, we sin again and again and again over again? What sense does it make that he should continuously accept our tshuva? Ben Yoni explains as follows. Ben Yisosek explains as follows. And he says, he wants to be mekarv de la sechel. It's not a kasha at all, he says. It's only a kasha from human nature and a human intellect. You have two people. One is Reuven, one is Shimon. Reuven does an avla, he does an infraction against Shimon. Reuven sins against Shimon. He may have embarrassed him, he may have spoken ill about him, he may have maybe robbed him, he may have made terrible things against Shimon. And then he wants to repent, he wants to do tshuva, so Reuven goes to Shimon and he says, you know what, please, forgive me. And Shimon, you know, finds it in his heart, he forgives him. All right. 2 weeks later, Reuven does the same thing over again. Shimon may or may not forgive him. What does it depend on? Depends on what kind of a big heart Shimon has. If Shimon has a very big heart, you know, he'll find it within himself to forgive him a second time. You know what? He sinned against me once. He sinned against me twice. But look, I see that he's sincere. I'm going to forgive him. What happens if he sins a third time? Shimon will say, no, I can't do it anymore. I already forgave you twice. Let's say the same thing happens towards a different person, but that person has a much, much bigger heart. Well, if you have more rachmonis, right, and you have more a leiv toiv, let us use the expression. So if a person, let's say, has a bigger leiv toiv, and he has a greater sense of rachmonis, he may forgive you 4 times, 5 times. You might find a person who has a gevul, has such a leiv toiv, has such a rachmonis, that he may be able to forgive you 10 times. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's measure of rachmanis is limitless. In other words, from our vantage point, we know we cannot tolerate, because how much rachmanis can we have against someone who does bad to us? It's against human nature. So we might forgive him once, we might forgive him twice, because our midos, our characteristics are limited. Our koich of rachmanis is limited. Somebody has a bigger, but there is a line, there's a gvul. You can raise the bar only so high and say this is a point that you can't go further. The limit of rachmanis, human rachmanis, only goes so far. Someone lower, someone higher, but then there's a point where it doesn't go further. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midos, Hashem, Keil, Rachum, V'chanun. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mid of rachum is without a measure, without a gvul. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mid of rachmanis without a gvul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's millionth time to forgive is like somebody else the third time, the second time, the first time. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midos are b'li gvul b'li erech, says the B'nai Yisosfer. So when you ask Akasha, I mean, you're raising the question, how is it possible for Kadosh Baruch Hu to forgive us if we sin 25 times against Him? You're asking that question based upon human instinct, human feelings. Human feelings, you're right. From human feelings, whose midah of rachmanis is limited, we cannot find in our hearts to forgive someone more than 2 times, 3 times, 5 times maximum. But Kadosh Baruch Hu, being that His midah of rachmanis, all of His midos, any of His midos, Kadosh Baruch Hu is b'li erech, b'li gvul, b'li seichel, b'li tachlis. And there's no limit, there's no measure, there's no midah. Kadosh Baruch Hu's rachmanis is also below midah. And meaning that His midah of rachmanis is without midah, so His rachmanis is endless. And if it's endless, then there's no question how Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to forgive us, and certainly is able to forgive us. So let's take a look at the B'nai Sotzman now, the Loshen. I'll explain to you how it's possible to bring it closer, you'll be able to understand it. How Kadosh Baruch Hu is ready to forgive so many times. The name is boss of Adam, he says. What is the midah? The midah of a boss of Adam, of a human being. If a person has a midah toiva, a human being who has a midah toiva, what does that mean? For example, Hainashu Rachmoni. He has a Rachmonis, umavral medois of his evil to overlook, you know, things that have been done against him. Lisloyach, velimchoil, lochola machisoi. To be able to forgive those who have angered him. He named Kolze, even though he has a Rachmonis, a human being, even though he has a midah of Rachmonis. But if the person continues to keep angering him day after day, even the biggest Baal Rachmanis says, Atkan, I can't go any further. My Rachmanis has a limit. How much can I tolerate? If it's Yoim Achayoim Lahachiso to make him angry, the best person, the greatest Baal Rachmanis, if you keep angering him day after day, you keep repeating it, to come a gvul, to come a time, where the midah of rachmanis will just end because there's a gavul. V'layirtz shuv limchol, and will not want to be meichel again. Hina, he says, of course, b'zeh yesh chilukim shoinim. What is the bar? What is the bar of how many times a human being will be willing to forgive? Well, it all depends on the nature of how much rachmanis individual has. So you'll have chilukim between person to person. A smaller baal rachmanis, right, will only allow and to forgive you less times, and a greater baal rachmanis will find in his heart to forgive you more times. But even more times is up to a gvul, up to a point, as he says. He says, "Hina b'zeh yesh chilukim shoinim zehu ish rachmani b'yoyser v'yarech av b'yoyser." A person who is a great rachmanis can keep his anger, right? Can extend his anger longer. Aval kaponim, but no matter what the situation, l'chol midas bosa v'dom yesh gvul. Even the biggest baal rachmanis, but there's a gvul. There's a point that you can't go any further. There's a boundary. Kim shabos v'dom b'yatzmoy baal gvul. Because the whole human being is a person with limitation. So being that the whole boss of Adam is a person of Gavul, right? I'm only so tall, I can only see so far, I can only hear that. So the whole creation of a human being is with a Gavul, is with measure. So his middos, his characteristics, whether it's Rachmanis, whatever, everything is a Gavul. All of his middos are also with a Gavul. They are with a measure. So it says, Al-Kain gam l'chol midos of yesh Gavul. He himself is a creature of Gavul. His middos also are constructed of Gavul, of limitations. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'li gvul v'tachlis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is someone without any boundary. There's no size, there's no measure. His midos also have no gvul v'tachlis. His midos also are endless. So me'el v'gam midos of endlem gvul. V'im ke'en kim shu rachum v'chanum v'toy v'salach. Among the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that he's a rachum v'chanum. Rachum v'chanum is b'li gvul. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His rachmanis is not like our rachmanis. Our rachmanis is limited. Someone can take more, someone can take less, depending on the person. But there's an end. There's a gvul. Kodesh Baruch Hu's midos are without gvul, totally, completely. All of the midos of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he says, gam kein ein gvul v'tachlis. Vim kein, if so, al yipoy le'vodam olav. Therefore, what the Nisos was saying, a person shouldn't despair. He looks at himself, and he looks at his history. He looks at his life's history, and he says to himself, can I really come back to a Kodesh Baruch Hu? I know how much I've sinned. Can HaKadosh Baruch Hu really forgive me, such a lowly person that I am, after all I have done? Don't despair, said Bnei Sosra. Because who are you asking forgiveness from? From Hashem. Hashem is without measure, without gvul. From a human being, to ask forgiveness on such basis, of course. How can you expect it? But you're doing tshuva, to whom are you doing tshuva? You're doing tshuva to Hashem. And Hashem is b'li gvul, you can always do tshuva. That's what says, Shuvah Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecho. That's the emphasis ad Hashem Elokecho. Remember to whom you're doing tshuva to. That should give you koyach to want to do tshuva and to believe you can do tshuva. Because the questions of limitations that you have in your mind, how is it possible? That's from a human point of understanding. That's from the limitations of Abbas of Adam. And I've added from the limitations of Abbas of Adam, from the vantage point of Abbas of Adam, there are limitations to any midah, to any. So therefore, Rachmanis only goes so far. But you're not doing tshuva to another boss of Adam. You're doing tshuva to him, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is b'li gvul v'tachlis. His midas are also b'li gvul v'tachlis. So tshuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecho. That's what you have to remember. That's why it says the words ad Hashem Elokecho. Remember from whom you're asking mechila from. It's from Hashem, and therefore don't fall apart. Don't despair and say, that's not shayach. You are already at the point of no return. You can't come back anymore. The doors of tshuva are closed for you. Because how is Hashem going to be able to receive you after you've sinned so many times? You're talking to Hashem, you're doing tshuva to Hashem, and if it's about Hashem, Hashem is limited in His scope of rachmanis, in His scope of forgiveness, in His scope of any of His midos. And therefore, a person always should feel that he's welcome, as long that you are ready to knock on the door. The door will be opened when you recognize that you have sinned and you say, Chotosi, Ovisi, Upeshati. We'd like to take a look now. So this, basically, this piece of Bnei Soscher, as I say, in a nutshell, is basically just expounding, without mentioning Rabbeinu Yoina, the words of Rabbeinu Yoina said, even imhir b'lifshoya, that even though you've sinned many, many times, as he said, among the great toivis that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave to us as a gift was tshuva, and that in that tshuva is accessible, and one is able to utilize it, and to use it, and should use it, even no matter how many times he has sinned, imhir b'lifshoya. And Bnei Soscher goes on to point out, to give us to understand that, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do such a thing, and nothing will stand in the way of tshuva. As long as you are ready to do tshuva, you want to do tshuva, there's nothing that's able to block it. No matter how many times that you have sinned, and by the way, you have done tshuva, and then you have sinned again, you come back to do tshuva again. And you have sinned again, you come back. As long as when you're doing tshuva, you really mean it at the time. So now you fall prey to man's weaknesses again. As long as you're alive, they're going to be dangerous and there's going to be pitfalls. And Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that too. As Rabbeinu Yonah says, he knows Yitzram, Kuhu Yodeya Yitzram. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows the weakness of man. That includes not only therefore allowing you to do tshuva, but knowing your weakness, Kadosh Baruch Hu also knows that you meant it at the time, but you're going to slip again. Because that's all part of your weakness. So Mamela, this allows you to come back over and over again, as long as you are committed to it at the time, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is ready to accept you, the tshuva. So this is a phenomenal idea. Then Rabbeinu Yonah went on, and he said that even a tshuva, by the way, which is not on a high level of tshuva, meaning it is not because, again, doing tshuva is an ideal, but rather doing tshuva because a person finds himself that many tzaras has befallen him, finds himself in a terrible situation, and so the motivating factor of doing tshuva is what? It's because of the tzaras. It's also. So let's take a look here, number two on the left side here. From the Sefer Beis Elokim, again, from the great one of the great authorities, that is the Mabit. Mabit was the son of the Maharit. This is, of course, later than Rabbeinu Yonah, but this is a few centuries later than Rabbeinu Yonah. Going back to the 1500s, 1600s, the Mabit and the Maharit were in the time of the Arizal. So you know what we're talking about. The caver of the Mabit is, in fact, in Tzfas. Anybody who goes to visit the caver of the Arizal will find the caver of the Riyah Kodesh. You find next to it, you find the caver of the Mabit, which is the Machaber of the Shalsi Chuvis Mabit, Ramoshe Mitrani, and Mabit is Moshe ben Yeshayahu Trani, his father the Marit, or Rabbi Yosef Mitrani. There was also Shai the Trani, there's another one. There's Rabbi Yosef Trani. So Mabit is the son of the Maharit, and one of the Sforim that he wrote, which is the one on Musar, is called Sefer Beis Elokim, a very classic Sefer. There's Shara Tfilah there, there's Shara Tshuva there, there's Shorim on different Midois in order to refine, and he gives us Eitzes. The Mabit tells us here, basically, what we're pointing out, this Mabit over here, is because this complement, this Mabit is in the Shar HaTshuva that has in Perikut Beis. And the Mabit wants to tell you, basically, what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, again, without bringing Rabbeinu Yonah here, Rabbeinu Yonah said that even a lower quality of Tshuva is also accepted. The only thing, as we'll see in the Mabit, lower quality Tshuva is accepted, but it accomplishes less. In other words, a person shouldn't think, take any other mitzvah. Take a mitzvah of tefillin. Tefillin, there is no such thing as doing a half a mitzvah of tefillin. Either you were mekayim the mitzvah or not. For example, tefillin needs to have four parshias written in the tefillin. Let's say somebody goes ahead and only puts in two parshias. It's not a half a mitzvah. It's nothing. It's zero. Some are supposed to take a lulav, which is supposed to be a minimum shear of a lulav, which is like three tefachim, or four tefachim once the shake, an extra tefach. And it's half the size. It's not a half a mitzvah, because half the size. It's no mitzvah whatsoever. And so on and so forth. A person has to have tzitzis, four tzitzis. What's it? So he's going to put on only three, on three corners, the fourth corner. So you think you have three quarters of the mitzvah. You have nothing. You have to do the mitzvah bishleimus. Tshuva is not like that. Even a shtikl tshuva, even a little bit of tshuva, also means, it does not have the full impact, though. It will not have the full impact as a complete tshuva, but every step of the way of tshuva means something, and it will reduce the oynish of the avera. It lowers the quality of the avera. One should imagine that you have, if you have a picture of the avera, and you have an eraser starting to erase it, a little bit of tshuva will erase some of that picture. It's not like any other mitzvah, doing a chelik of the mitzvah, nothing has been accomplished. Tshuva is not like that. Tshuva, every bit of tshuva accomplishes something. So it will erase some of the, and take some of the heaviness, some of the weight of the Avera off. So every step, a person says to me, say, I can't complete the whole task of tshuva. Do some of it. Do part of it. Because every chelik, every step in the right direction, achieves and accomplishes. This is a tremendous nechama and comfort to a person who hopes to do tshuva, tries to do tshuva, but finds the overwhelming challenge in front of him and says, I can't complete the job. Take the first step. Take two steps. Take three steps. Take baby steps. Because every step in the road to tshuva accomplishes. Let's take a look at the words of Rabbeinu Yonah. And he says, Beis Elokim, rather. Says the Beis Elokim, V'achash nisbayir inyan ha-tshuva, ki achrot v'aziv es achet. Now, of course, the fundamentals of tshuva, which means the proper tshuva, let's talk about first what the proper. Proper tshuva, we know, is, first thing is, when we talk about this, charot v'aziv es achet. Charot means you have to have regret for the past. And aziv esachet means you have to stop doing the avera. So these are the basic two yesoides of tshuva. And then there's Kabbalah al-Osid, of course, which the Rambam talks about. But if you talk about the necessity, the need, and the importance that tshuva requires, you have to have charote. What kind of a tshuva is it? You'll say to yourself, if I don't have charote, if I don't regret the past. Well, there's some people that say like this, I don't regret the past, but from now on I'll do the right thing. You know, it was good. It was good while it lasted. There's such an attitude also. I don't have charote. You know, well, it was fine. It was a good experience. You know? But now I'm charting a new path. Tshuva needs charote. It's not enough that from now on you're going to do the right thing. You have to regret the past. That's the proper tshuva. Aziv is achet means stop doing the avera. As he says. So after we were taught that tshuva means charote, to have regret, aziv is achet, and leaving the avera, nemar. But I want to tell you, says the Mabit, ki einon kishara mitzvahs. Tshuva is not like other mitzvahs. Shoha oise chelik ha-mitzvah, einloi chelik schar ha-mitzvah. By all other mitzvahs, if you only do a part of the mitzvah, you don't have schar mitzvah. If you put up a half a mezuzah, it's nothing. It's not a half a mitzvah. It's nothing. You have to have the whole thing. Tshuva is not like that, as he says. He points out an example. K'ma shetoy ma mitzvah tzitzis u'bedalad ha-kanfois. We know mitzvah tzitzis is on four corners of the beged. V'oise tzitzis begimel kanfois levad. What happens if a person only puts tzitzis on three of the corners? Eino mekayim gimel chelka mitzvah. You don't have three quarters of a mitzvah. Three quarters of tzitzis is zero. You might as well not have done anything, he says. Is ki ilu loy oso shum dovar. Like you did nothing. But ve'ulam ha-tshuva gam ki eino shleimo. Tshuva is not like that. Tshuva, even if it's not a complete tshuva, he says, ad shetiyah b'charot l'shover. Complete tshuva means that you really have regret on the past. V'aziv v'zachet l'osid. And as far as completely committing yourself to the future, im kolze, he said, hacharota levad b'liyaziv v'zachet moil katzas. In other words, if you regret the past, you have a situation like this. You have something to the person, you know, you sin. So you say like this, you know, you regret the past, but you don't have enough strength to change it. But you regret it. But that's really, according to the conditions of tshuva, that's only half the condition. Regretting is just half the condition. Because the second part is, not only regretting the past, but also, aziv v'zachet, leaving the avera for the future. Let's say you can't do the second half. In other words, you wish, you regret the past, and you wish you could change, but I just can't go forward. But I regret my past. So that's really only part of the tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah says, don't compare to tzitzis, that part of a mitzvah is nothing. Tshuva, charota alone, without the second part, does mean something. Charote alone. Look what he says. Im kol ze hacharote levad b'li aziv v'zachet moil katzas. Don't, he says, turn away. Don't, he says, abandon it. Don't dismiss it. Don't dismiss it. And the opposite is also. V'chein aziv v'zachet b'li charote. Somebody have a situation. Okay, from now on, I'm going to leave the chet. You know what? But I can't regret the past. I enjoyed the past. I enjoyed it. It was good. And you don't regret now for the past. We're not saying that at the time you... It's clear at the time you enjoyed it. Charote means that now you regret that you enjoyed the past. That's what charote means. Charote means that now you regret over your past. True, we're not trying to say at the time when you did it, of course you enjoyed it. You did the avera. Charote means, but now you regret that you ever did it and you ever enjoyed doing the avera. But let's say you can't. It's a fact of life. I enjoyed doing it at the time. So I can't find charote in the sense of the past. But you know what? But I'm going to continue now in the right way. That also means something. Even though there's no charota for the past, but at least there's aziv v'zachet for the future, it also means something. In the world of tshuva, a partial tshuva also is meaningful. As he goes on, Achav was a rosha. Achav was a wicked king. Achav was melech, right? Achav ha-melech, we find, shenichnam lifnei Hashem, where we find that Achav finally, he humbled himself before Hashem, and we find him Elohim. And it said, "Bamesh Shekora Begodov." He rent his garments, v'tzom, and he fasted, v'shochav besak, and basically he wore sackcloth. Achov, shenire, kimischaret amashosa, which shows that he had charota for what he did, but v'loy ozav kol chatov. Achov did not become a tzaddik. Now he had charota for that particular thing that he had done. He had charota for that particular thing, so he humbles himself before Hakadosh Baruch Hu for one particular act. For a particular act. But he didn't. Achav didn't become now a tzaddik. And yet we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted the tshuva on that area. As we find, v'im kol ze hoyoloi, it helped him. A partial tshuva, Achav's tshuva helped him for whatever it was worth. It helped him. How do you know? Kinechsiv, the Pasuk says in Malachim, Yan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yan, because kinichna miponai, being that he humbled himself before me, loy ovi hara'a biyomov, I will not bring what I wanted to bring, all the evil, all the bad in his days. So Hashem accepted it, even though it was just a partial tshuva. So Mela says in Mabit, any step of tshuva means something, is meaningful, and is oisa roshim. Don't abandon it. V'chein motzinu ba'anche ninve. Another raya. Another raya to show the one that every step in tshuva is meaningful. Even a chelik tshuva also is moil ketzas, not to be dismissed. Anche ninve become actually always the paradigm, you know, of the inyan of tshuva. We read it, of course, the Maftar Yoyne on Yom Kippur. By Nineveh we find, sheshavu lo'osu tshuva v'chet. The extent of tshuva of Nineveh was that they changed from now. No indication that they had charata for the past. Anche Nineveh, sorry, all of a sudden they have charata for all of their life's history, everything. They realize they're in danger. So you know, from now on we're going to do the right thing. Nineveh, from now on. But they'd never had charata for the past. The Pasuk says, he points out later there, the Mabit. The point is, v'l'nischartu al ho'ovar. No indication at all that they have charata for the past. Eleherech lohem HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually extended, gave them more time. Achitiyah tushivosim shalema. Va'afile ba'ashuvoysoy eliboy loshu b'li kiyum shim chelik mebeis chelka tshuva. Then he goes further. Let's say a person is so early in this tshuva stage that he's just thinking about it. But in the meantime, he did not act in any way. He has no charata lemaisa. He still is not able to change his ways, but it's in his heart. He said, you know what? The right thing for me is to do tshuva. I'm not ready yet. That also means something. The fact that it's in your heart that you have the machshava of wanting to do tshuva, even that means something. So that's the really early budding stage of tshuva. Even those early weak madrega of tshuva, quality of tshuva, says Rabbeinu Yoyne, that you are lacking. Bilikiyum shum chelik mebeis chelka tshuva hahechrechiyim. Because we said there are two necessary basic elements of tshuva. The components of basic is charata and aziva sachet. He's lacking. Before he was talking about he had one of them. He had charata without the other, or he had the other aziva sachet without charata. Now he's talking about even less. You don't even have any. You're none of the two. All you have is a hira biliboy. You have a fleeting thought in your mind. You know that it would be a good thing, be a nice thing if I can do tshuva. Not now, but I like to do tshuva. So if you're thinking about doing tshuva, you're hoping you'd like to do tshuva, to have success in tshuva. That also means something. Mekel ha'odam oynish. It will at least reduce the quality, whatever oynish of that aveira is, qualitatively speaking. The aveira has not been erased yet, because you didn't really do tshuva. But you did a chelik of the tshuva, you did a part of the tshuva. You have a figment of the tshuva. You have a remez of tshuva, you have a roshem of tshuva. That also means something, and it will be successful in reducing at least some of the oynish. So these are tremendous things. Which is the interesting thing is, to show you one nekuda, and I want to show you, just go to number 3, and then we're going to skip to number 5. You realize, everybody knows this, we say this in the davening. We say, Hashem Melech, we say, after Mizmor Shir Chanukas, right? We say, Hashem Melech, Hashem is King, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch. You notice? When you talk about Hoya Hoy Viviyeh, it means Hashem was, Hashem is, and Hashem will be. Ovar, Hoyve, and future. Hashem Melech, this is Shloki Seder. You're saying Hashem Melech, Hashem is King now. Hoyve, present, Hashem is Melech now. Then you say Hashem Moloch, then you go back. Hashem was, well, if he was, that's first. He first was, then he is now, and will be. You should have said Hashem Moloch, Hashem was a king. Not only he was, Hashem Melech, he still is, and Hashem Yimlech. That's not the way we say it. We say Hashem Melech. Then we go back and we say what? Hashem Moloch. Then we say Hashem Yimlech. Why is the Seder of these three acknowledgments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingdom, why is it put in that type of a Seder? Well, we have here, let me explain it just. And this is you say that the Divrei Shmuel of Slonim says it's in Sefer Divrei Shmuel on Rosh Hashanah, and he says the following. Because one of the main hindrances, and by the way, the Bnei Yisrael actually alluded to that, one of the main hindrances that holds a person back, that blocks a person's attitude towards tshuva, is because he falls in a matzah of a yush. He says, he knows his matzah. He knows that how much he sinned, and he believes he's a terrible person, and therefore he says to himself, it's not kedai, it's not worth it. It's not worth it for me to do tshuva. Will Hashem really accept me to tshuva? Am I really able to do tshuva? Does my neshama really have a tikkun? It's lost anyway, so I might as well continue my ways. It's all lost. It's finished, it's over with. Man finds it many times very difficult to believe that he really is still, in spite of everything, in spite of the worst behavior, he finds it many times difficult to believe that he's able to do tshuva. That's why the Bnei Sosa pointed out that Phil, even you were choyte, so many times, alofim, as he says, you were choyte, he says, alfei alofim revovo ispamim, you're choyte so many times. But man finds it difficult to believe, because why? Because he looks at his past. Says the Slonim Rebbe, the Divrei Shmuel, the proper way of tshuva is, you don't look back, you look for now. In other words, as far as you're concerned, in the world of tshuva, the past does not exist. As far as you're concerned, erase it, wipe it off the computer, it's gone. It's finished. It's over with. And if you look at the present moment, well, the present moment, if it's not connected to the past, I can come back to Kodesh Baruch Hu. I can connect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Once you're successful of focusing on the now, then you're able to look back and try to fix the things that you've done in the past. And then you're able to look also to the future. Because if a person looks to the past, he falls into despair. He knows how terrible his past was. The same thing is, if you look to the future, again you fall in despair. Because you say to yourself, I'm going to do tshuva. Who knows how long it's going to last? These are people always pessimistic. I'll do tshuva. I know in 2 weeks from now, you look to the future, you say, how long is it going to last, the future? Answer is, don't look to the future either. Don't look to the past. In the course of tshuva, in a career of tshuva, you don't look back and you don't look forward. You look for now. Now is now, you're living this moment. And as far as this moment is concerned, you're pure. Because your past doesn't exist. From the point of tshuva. Now do tshuva because you're living now. You're living in the now. You're living in the present. Hashem Melech. First accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon you that He's king now. Don't think about Hashem being a king. Even though in the past you didn't act as He was a king. In the past history, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not your king. You abandoned Him. You did things against Him. You defied your king. He was not your king in the past. Don't look at the past. Look first as Hashem Melech. If you looked at Hashem as a Melech now, so now you're going to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once you connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now then you'll work on the other stuff. Then Hashem Moloch. Then you'll try to accept Hashem retroactively for the things you did in the past. You're going to erase your past with all the charota, with everything. It's an exercise that takes time. There'll be an avodah in the course of weeks, months. You will be able to accomplish that. And then Hashem Yimloch. And then also you have confidence that Hashem will be with you in the future as well. This is the hashkofa, this is the psychology of how a person's attitude should be to be successful. You can't jump to worrying about the past because then you get nowhere. You have to, as far as you're concerned, the past doesn't exist. Let's take a look in Divrei Shmuel. And that will help a person to reach his goal in tshuva. Hashem Melech, Hashem Molech, Hashem Yimloch. Merum is Bozeh. Hashem Melech is Besegol, which means Hashem is king now, in the present. Huloshen Hoive means Hashem is king now. Vahainu. Kishodom, he says, Namoid Bigvura Neged Yitzroy. When a person wants to fight his Yetzer Hara. Bishoshim is Gabriel of Beyoisir. When the Yetzer Hara. What are you trying to do to fight the Yetzer Hara? You say to the Yetzer Hara, you want me to listen to you? Because Baruch is the king, Hashem Melech. So he says, so V'oimer, you say to Yetzer Hara, you say, Hashem Melech, Hashem is king. V'tzorichli Shiorim Miponov. And I have allegiance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And I have to fear Hashem. The last is Ritzoinoi. If this is the attitude, you're thinking about Hashem is king now, and I have to do the right thing now, you might be successful, he says. Then he says, in kocha, yase, zoiche lisakim, gameso ovar. In other words, if you're misakim the now, then afterwards you'll be zoiche to be misakim the ovar. The nas is bechinas Hashem moloch, then it becomes, turns into Hashem moloch. Va'achekach, and afterwards, zoiche oid, lebechinas Hashem yimloch lo'elam voeh. Future. Shemekabel alatzim emalchuso yizbarach, miskayim esloyelam voeh, and we'll have the kiyum. So these are some of the interesting ideas. The remaining moments, you can see the rest of the sheet. Just want to show you, just tell you to by heart, just one akuda. There's a very interesting tshuvas chasam sofer. There was a shoychet. A shoychet, you know, one of the, of all the professions in the world. I mean, of course, if you're a klei kodesh, you know, if you're dealing with kehillah work, you have to be your shumayim. If you're a shliach tzibur, you have to be your shumayim. If you're a sofer writing tefillin, you have to be your shumayim. If you're a shoychet who is shechting, you have to be your shumayim. Particularly as a shoychet and a sofer, it's mentioned, these things are underscored many, many times, more than anything. Because if you're not a Yerushalayim, by the way, a lot of the kavonis, you're not going to be mechavim properly, that you have to have in mind writing. And by the way, in a lot of the mistakes, you know, with tefillin, you know, you can't erase. If you make a mistake, you can't go back. And if you're not a Yerushalayim, you may do all, you may tamper with it, because it's a lot of tirchet to go back and write it all. You make a little bit, imagine you wrote a whole mezuzah, just at the end you make a small mistake, and you have to rewrite it all the way from the beginning, a new one. Cost time and money, and nobody's going to pay for the mistake. You have to be your shemayim, to be honest. You know, nobody knows. Only you know, and Hashem. It's between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A shaychit, who shechts, one little turn and twist the wrong way, or too much pressure, because the knife, the chalut, has to cut, not press. That's called drosa. Drosa is called pressing. You can't hack the simonim. You can't cut the you can't chop the simonim. You have to cut it neatly, smoothly, without a pegima. All these things. Anyway, the maisa was, the chasam sofer was a tshuva, a particular shoychit that was found that he did a certain avera, or many averas. As a result, they were maver the shoychit. They removed him. They freed him. They dismissed him from his position. By the way, those days, in Europe, even before Europe now, just before, not so many years ago, in the kehilas of Europe, a shoychid, by the way, that if you dismissed the shoychid, it was not just that he lost his parnosa. He had a wife and children, but nobody else would take him as a shoychid. Because that would be the first thing. If a shoychid was dismissed, right away, why was he dismissed? First, ask me your experience. Where did you shecht before? Oh, I shecht over there. Oh, what happened? Right away, they send a telegram to the rov of the kehilah, to the dayanim, and they say, well, we caught him this and this, and they're going to warn the other future kehilas not to do it. It was a very serious decision before you fired a shaykhid. It was a very serious decision. We had to find out if he really deserves to be fired. And so on. So it was a big achrayas. Shaykhid was fired, and then it was said that he did tshuva. Tshuva helps. But you have to know that he really, really did tshuva. And if you know that he really, in fact, did tshuva, then you can accept them to be a shoychet again. So the Atzik Sam Sofer regarding particular, this is number 5, you'll take a look later. The Atzik Sam Sofer was asked about a particular shoychet who actually became ill. He became ill, and he did tshuva, and he wanted to be reinstated and be reaccepted as a shoychet. The Atzik Sam Sofer says, listen, if someone does tshuva, he can always be accepted. And in fact, he can be taken back as a shoychet again. But I'm concerned that maybe he only did tshuva. Why? Because he got sick. Like Rabbi Yoina said. No, that's also. But it may not maintain it. In other words, as soon as he gets better, he may go back to his old ways. So we have to find out how is he going to conduct his life. He says, after he gets better. In other words, he did tshuva while he was sick. And now he wanted to be accepted. He wanted now that... So he says, we have to see how he leads his life after he gets out of that hospital, or after he becomes okay, and see if he maintains it. Because maybe only because on the spur of the moment, he says, vidui chotose visi pishati, because of his sorrows. And Chasam Sofer says that even more than that, you have to be suspicious. Maybe on the outside, he'll look like he's doing the right thing. You know, one of the important things is it should be toichoi kibari. What is toichoi kibari? It means that his inside should be like the outside. Many people, the outside looks very nice, but the inside does not match up to the outside. Chasam Sofer has a beautiful melitza, as the Rabbonim and those that were able to write. He says, even though he appears, he did tshuva, yeah? But I'm not so convinced yet, said the Chasam Sofer. Maybe toichoi kibari. Inside is like Pare. Pare was a Russia. Pare was a Russia, not Toichoi Kepare. Maybe Toichoi Kepare. On the outside, he's doing the right thing, but could be that's Toichoi. Toichoi could be Kepare. I just want to conclude, Rabbi, with one small thing. And that is that in the writings of in the writings of Rabban Tzion Abishol, in the writings of Rabban Tzion Abishol, there's a sefer called Oyle Tzion, when the Spartish Chacham in the Chochma Musar, who was Rosh Yeshiva of Poiras Yosef, Porat Yosef, he brings that, he wrote down Mamish this incident that happened, Rabban Tzion Abishol. He talks about a bank director who really had his service to do tshuva. He had a service that he wanted to become about tshuva. And he sits an hour, he sits and made a decision that he wants to do tshuva. However, one thing he was not able to make peace with, he says, I'm a bank director, he says. Can you imagine, he says, tomorrow I'm going to come into the bank wearing a yarmulke, he says. How am I going to look like, he says. Everybody knows me. He says, I have nothing to do with religion until now. And I'm going to come wearing a yarmulke, and I'm the bank director. Everybody knows me, everybody's looking up to me. And they're just going to laugh at me. I'll be the laughingstock, you know, of all my friends and everybody around. And he found it very difficult. It was a big nisoyin for him. There's Babel who says, I'm going to come to the bank. He says, I'm going to wear my yarmulke. And he had this particular conflict, and it did not give him any rest. It really bothered him, because he really wanted to be a full Baal Tshuva, but yet he couldn't find himself that he's going to be able to wear the yarmulke. So he goes the next morning, he comes to the bank, Yitaka does not wear the yarmulke, because he's not ready for it. He's not ready. He doesn't wear it. So then it comes about 11 o'clock, he's supposed to eat a snack, he takes out a cookie or something, he wants to eat. Then he realizes, I'm not wearing a yarmulke. At least to make a bracha, I have to wear it. And yesterday he decided he wants to be a Baal Tshuva, really. But he couldn't still bring himself, he said, to wear the yarmulke. So here he has his cookie in his hand. He didn't know what to do. And on the one hand, to put the yarmulke on, he was not ready. And to eat without it, he wasn't ready either. So it's like in a quandary, didn't know what to do. All of a sudden, one of the wealthy customers come into the bank, and he has a large bag, said with gold coins. Large bag with gold coins that was worth a lot of money. And he's coming to deposit it in a safe deposit box. And as this rich man with a sack full of dinrei zohav, as he called it, gold coins, as he comes in, the bag tears, and all of the coins they scatter all over the floor of the bank. And you can imagine what happened, a great tumult, and everybody, all of the officers of the bank, and everybody was just jumping around, just collecting the gold coins, and in a hysteria, picking up the coins, and the rich man himself was not embarrassed. He threw himself on the ground to collect the coins. All of his begotten became dusty and dirty. This wealthy man, a respected man, with nice clothing, told him, and he sits there and he watches and he says, if a person is able, he says, to disgrace himself because of money, after all, that's all it is, which does not have eternal value, certainly not. And money, by the way, is called zuzim. The Gemara says, you know why zuz is called money? Why is money called zuzim? Shezoz mikan v'bol likan. Zuzim, it moves. Today you have it and tomorrow somebody else has it. Izoz, it moves from place to place. So he says to him, if a person is not embarrassed to disgrace himself for money, should I be embarrassed for a mitzvah, which has eternal value, which is chai v'kayim, he says, l'ol ne'yad, that did it for him. But the Sina B'Shol writes that he puts on his yarmulke, he was machazik himself, and he became a full Baal Tshuva. What comes out of it, said an Odom Choshev, who heard that Maise, that maybe that's also included what Rabbeinu Yoyne said. We learned today in Rabbeinu Yoyne, that if a person finds that ein yativoi maseges, his nature does not allow him. He wants to do tshuva, but his nature does not allow him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him the siyata d'shamaya. Here the siyata d'shamaya was that this rich man came in and he just saw how a person is ready to disgrace himself. He says, for gashmius, should I be embarrassed when it comes to do a mitzvah? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him in a situation to be able to see the light and to be able to commit himself to do tshuva. We should all be zeichet to have our own siyata d'shamaya, to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to be able to do a tshuva shalem.